Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. There have been some delays, but it's been mostly smooth sailing at the nation's airports. CBS News Philadelphia reporter Siafa Lewis spoke with some flyers.
Mother Nature decided to throw a wrench in some travelers' plans here at Philadelphia International Airport.
A lot of delays, just had to eat some pretzels and wait.
So far, only 25 minutes, so not too bad. I'm hoping that's all it is.
Jay, coming to the airport, my flight was delayed. Not too bad right now, but about 20 minutes. Last time this happened, it ended up being up to 4 hours, so I'm hoping it's not.
For others, the delays weren't stressing them out in the least.
You probably noticed that prices at the gas pump have been going down over the last couple of months. Will that continue? Oil analyst Tom Closa.
Bottom line is most of the deflation for gasoline is over now, and we'll see prices reinflate in the first 100 days of the year. But we're paying about the same as we were last year for gas.
The Big Apple is preparing for its big night.
To help celebrate.
It's going to be some kind of a kick for me. Big time.
Legendary singer-songwriter Paul Anka will perform.
New York is the center of it at a time where our world is changing so drastically that this event will have a lot of meaning for a lot of people.
Mac Rosenberg for CBS News, New York.
Thousands of people are marching north to the U.S. border, says CBS's Christina Ruffini.
Joe Biden has to help us, says this man from Honduras. Meanwhile, about 8,000 men, women, and children from multiple Latin American countries are making their way north through Mexico, the largest such caravan in months.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas met with Mexico's president, asking for help with the migrant crisis. An official in North Dakota is refusing calls from his own party to resign. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has that story.
Republican North Dakota State Representative Nico Rio says he has no plans to resign after a DUI traffic stop in which he used homophobic and anti-migrant language against a police officer with a British accent.
You guys are picking on me.
Will you provide the test?
No, sir.
Okay. He also refused to take a breathalyzer test.
In Jacksonville, Florida, crews have removed a Confederate monument from a park after years of public controversy. Mayor Donna Deegan ordered the removal of the Tribute to the Women of the Southern Confederacy monument, which has been in the park since 1915. And the Powerball jackpot will swell to about $760 million after nobody won the jackpot in Wednesday night's drawing. The next drawing for the jackpot is Saturday. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Badgers head to Tampa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers football team has arrived in Florida to get ready to face the LSU Tigers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl, in Tampa next week. Earlier this month, the Badgers lost receivers coach Mike Brown, who took a job with Notre Dame. Luke Fickell has hired former Ohio State quarterback Kenny Guyton. He's been a receivers coach and the interim offensive coordinator for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Guyton on dealing with players coming and going through the transfer portal.
College football landscape
kind of changed in the last 2-3 years. And I think we're all kind of learning. And I think it's kept a lot of mindsets really involved to where they understand what competing and the want to, the effort, and everything else that comes with it.
NFL, Packers getting ready to face the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Both teams at 7-8, trying to earn a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
We're going into a great environment in Minnesota, and, you know, it's going to be a great challenge, but this is what we prepare for.
As Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds on the increase in the overnight, upper 20s by sunrise. There may be a little bit of light snow developing late tonight towards sunrise, and snow showers and some sprinkles and flurries for Thursday. Highs in the upper 30s. Currently 26 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Deeming this one even the losers deserve a whopper of a Wednesday happier happy hour. Welcome to it. No Dom, but there's Nate and Crudy, and we're lightly screening the calls, and we are taking your nominees for biggest loser of 2023. And before I go back to the lines, be patient just for a minute, callers, because you're next. But a few of the text contributors, well, here's a nice sentiment. Jeff from Shorewood: be great today, Crudy. Should be easier without that slacker Dom. Get on it, Great Nate. He calls you Great Nate. He likes you quite a bit. Here's a new one. WMDX texter. Just Rudy, Rudy, Rudy over and over again. I think they're nominating Rudy Giuliani for loser of the year.
I got to tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
Well, well done, sir.
I've been waiting on that one for a little bit here.
We got texter from God's country, the Eagle. What Jeannie said, love her, love some Jeannie. And here's one, this one, Lisa Joe from Madison. Rojo's the biggest loser because, well, he just is and always will be. That's a well-made argument, Lisa Joe. I can agree with that one. Dana from God's country texts in. I see the right-wingers are calling in with their talking points they heard somewhere else, but they have no idea how to explain them. And if you missed Bill called in towards the end of last hour, got a little rise out of a few. Angie from Monroe included, who texts to Bill, even the gas company in Madison building downtown has solar panels on top of their vehicle. And then she said, oops, building. Yeah, I knew what you meant. 844-967-2789. We'll get to you soon. Be patient. Karina from Milwaukee, you're next, though. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Trudy. I hope you had a good Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Family. Happy New Year's to you. I still remember generosity of the, I think it was the sweets you brought to Brady Street during the presidential debate.
Oh, thank you. It is really good cookies. It is really good cookies, no question about.
They were good cookies, Karina.
Crudy, well, about the electricity, electrical car and everything, honestly, I think there's a couple things going on, and I think that we have to change the law and be able to resell electricity, and that things will move on much faster. And then I always was thinking about the business idea that, you know, the battery for a car is way more expensive, or at least the same amount as a car. So it would be interesting to actually have a company who would sell the battery and give a loan, like a second loan for a car, for a home, right? But you have two loans, for example, for a car and for a battery. Hmm. And then have a contract. If you are at work, right, like you drove yourself to work and you have a full amount of tonight, you have a full amount of electricity in your car, you would allow me to dip in into your car battery and actually use that energy to store, because you don't use it, leave you like 20% of energy or whatever you determine, and then you reuse that cheap energy at the time of a peak of user energy, like in the evening when everybody's home on the weekend.
Well, so you're suggesting we sort of do a reverse day trade, sort of Enron style. We become energy brokers. I mean, sister, you got a more complex mind than I can comprehend at this point.
but it works. It works because if you have electrical car, they extremely high priced because you're paying for a car and you're paying for a battery, which is about $25,000-$30,000. If I remove that battery, and I will say, okay, I'm a company who sells you a battery, but we're going to give you a deal. Here's the $25,000 loan, but you can pay off your loan with us dipping in into your battery at the time you tell us, and we can get in like and take 50% of your battery and leave you only 20 or 30, whichever you need to get home. And when you get home, you again charging your battery.
Karina, I love your idea. You've obviously thought a little harder about this topic than, let's say, Bill from Grant County has. But I swear the complexity, it's a little hard for me. Thinking hard is hard, but I will do so off the air. I just want to keep moving down the many, many people nominating their biggest losers for 2023. John calling in from Dubuque. Welcome, John. How are you listening to us, John? How do you find the greatest radio show ever? Hello, John. Hey, John, welcome.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Good, hey, man. How'd you find us? How'd you find these Wisconsin boys from Dubuque, sir?
I called in about a month ago, so I work in Madison, but I live in Dubuque.
We're coming. So I told you we're coming to Dubuque, man. You'll have to party with us. We'll be in Dubuque on January 15th for the big caucus night, John.
Well, that's fantastic. They gave us January 15th off because it's where I work is a union shop, so they gave them that day off.
Excellent, man. You'll have to come down, find us, and we'll have a cold one together. But you got a nominee for Biggest Loser 2023, John?
Yeah, I do. I have one that I've been thinking about as I've been driving home here. And then aside from Bill and Lou, who have called in the call, because I'm from Colorado. And so he was talking bad about Colorado and the ruling about Donald Trump and all that stuff. So and Denver is not that different than Madison, but aside from constitutionally. But anyway, and then Bill, just green energy. I don't know what Bill's problem is, but that's Bill, I guess. But mine was the red wave that was supposed to overtake all of us and shower us with the strange Republican glory that never happened. So the red wave was my loser nomination.
Well, you know, Bill, pardon me, John, appreciate you listening, and maybe you can look us up. I will literally be in Dubuque on the 15th. But I think the red wave was blunted by the Dobbs decision. I mean, it killed him in the midterms. It dropped in June of 22, killed him in the midterms. And, you know, you look at the election here in the state of Wisconsin, at least the spring election, the Supreme Court, and I would say it certainly killed Dan Kelly's chances. So I agree. The red wave, one of the biggest losers of 2023. No such creature. Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Oh, hi, Cody. I just wanted to add in to one of your previous callers was making the comment that Trump had not received due process in the Colorado's ruling, and I know that you have some opinions on this, too. I just wanted to commend to you and to him an article from an on-site place called ColoradoPolitics.com. ColoradoPolitics.com. It's from December 21st of this year, and the title of it is Dissenting Judges in Trump Case Raise Due Process Concerns, comma, offer slim details, leaving lawyers wondering what more was needed. So what they looked at, it's a great article because it really spells out what was going on. I mean, it's useful to consider that Trump was not criminally charged. This was a civil case. Did he have the qualifications to have his name on the ballot? Was he over 35? Is he an American citizen born on American soil? And is he not an insurrectionist who had taken an oath to defend the Constitution? And note that a January 6th protester, for example, who had not taken an oath to defend the Constitution as a public official, would not have this problem with qualification. It is because he is a public official who took the oath to defend the Constitution that this question arose. So the question was civil in nature, not criminal. So as you go through it, the judge, Sarah Wallace, conducted an evidentiary hearing, which is what you do in civil cases, as I understand it.
The definition of due process, is it not, Joe?
Yeah, it was 5 days of hearing. There were exhibits, there was evidence, there were opportunities to cross-examine, and indeed, Trump's people, his team were cross-examining witnesses, and Trump had ample opportunity to bring forth the concerns that they would have. So from that came the Colorado decision in the Supreme Court. And it's useful to understand that two justices that were concerned about due process, they were two out of the three in the minority. All the four in the majority did not have these due process concerns. And it's an interesting notion because this is a civil case. It's not criminal. And there are different standards that apply. And this article does a very good job of detailing that. And, some of the things.
But, Joe, you can understand why a guy like Bill, I think it was Bill from Greene County, that was miffed. Others certainly have called in and been miffed about this Colorado ruling and the fact that it feels political to them. You get the fact. If the guy's on the ballot, let the voters decide. And I know that George Conway had taken that opinion and then maybe changed a little bit when reading the dissents from Colorado and said there really was no good argument made in dissent. So, Joe, I don't know exactly where to come down, but I don't think this is the winning issue, the exclusion of Trump prior to conviction. I don't think this is electorally the right side of the issue to be on.
I don't know.
Oh, no, Joe, I can't hear you.
That judicially, it makes sense because this was. Judicially, it does not make sense to go. Do you hear me now, Crudy?
Yeah, Joe, sorry to interrupt, but we got some breaking news. Former Wisconsin Senator Herb Kohl has passed. He is dead at the age of 88. Breaking news, Herb Kohl has passed. I've been handed a note. I believe the veracity came from our news director, Terry Bell. Thank you, Terry. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone call. Herb Kohl has passed. He was instrumental in the building of the Pfizer Forum. Had he not been so generous in selling the bucks and contributing, I believe it was $100 million towards the building of the Fiserv Forum, that franchise might have left Milwaukee. Of course, also served with honor as a U.S. senator from this great state. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back. Until we close our eyes for
good. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
Hey, remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've had some breaking news just in the last couple of minutes. Former U.S. Senator Herb Cole, former owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Herb Cole, has passed at the age of 88. We are going to continue this little exercise, Biggest Loser of 2023, and we will get back to the phones and the text line at 844-967-2789. So have no fear. We'll have a little fun. But I've only really got one good Herb Cole story. And I've only had one close interaction, well, kind of two, with Herb Cole. And here it is. I was a young cameraman working for WXOW, ABC, right out of college. I was making like a whopping $8.25 an hour, I think, as a full-time camera guy. I mean, you can't even afford to put gas in the car. And I don't care what year it is. But anyways, I was doing it for the passion and for the love. And I was there on a news story, and Joel Mazan, I believe, was the name of the young reporter, redheaded kid. I thought, man, that's going to be tough in television, Joel. But, you know, he was good, and he taught me a few things. And one day we're interviewing Herb Cole at some public event. And we didn't get many cracks at the center over in western Wisconsin. We were based out of La Crosse. And I forget where Herb was. But anyways, when we asked him the standard political fare, the news of the day, I mean, he just rolled his eyes. He could care less. And this guy was an active U.S. senator at the time. But the news director, or pardon me, the sports director, I think, who was it? Chris, maybe Scooter Emmerich. Somebody sent some sports questions along with us. And when we asked Bucks questions of Herb Cole, this guy lit up. That is what totally captivated all of his attention. And then Joel totally broke all journalistic ethics and asked Herb, hey, man, how do we get tickets for a Bucks game? And he literally introduced us to one of the staffers. So the staffer set us up and we got Bucks tickets. And we went to the Bucks game, me and Joel and a couple of my college buddies, and we were in Herb Cole's box. And it was like goat cheese pizza. And Herb came up there, and the center was very gracious. He entertained all his guests pregame. I mean, I felt like a shooter. I was a young, dumb 23-year-old kid making $8.25 an hour. I wasn't sure I could afford gas money back to La Crosse. But anyways, we had a hell of a good time. And before the game, Herb used to move down, and he would sit immediately behind the players on the bench. And that's where the senator would watch the game. And my brief experience with Herb Cole, he was a very gracious man and clearly a very generous man. That's why there is a Cole Center here in Madison. And of course, the Fiserv Forum, he was instrumental in keeping the Bucks franchise here, because I'm not giving Scott Walker any credit. Cheaper to keep him was the worst sloganeering ever. He is always a nominee for the Biggest Loser, I think. 844-967-2789. This year, the wanker loser is really in the personification of losing presidential candidate Ron DeSantis. Just want to throw his name out there for the record, because Ron DeSantis is like an Ivy League Scotty Wanker, to my opinion. And they're both going to end the year crying into their pillows. 844-967-2789. Sussex represent. Gary, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I don't have a story about eating munchies watching the game with Herb Cole, but at least I had munchies eating with Dom and Crudy.
Yeah, man. We went down to the packing house and had the fish fry, and I'm still waiting. Because, Gary, I think somewhere along the line, you said you were going to up for the drinks, and I'm still waiting for the drinks.
I never said that.
I think you lost some gentleman's bet on the air one day, or we...
No, because the thing is, I don't want to be responsible for somebody getting free drinks and overdoing and killing themselves or killing someone else. I never buy drinks for anybody, not alcohol. Food, yeah, absolutely. And I'll do it again. All right, but I got my...
Loser of the year.
Loser.
Yes. Who are you nominating?
I think you're going to agree with me. You might not like what I'm going to say, but I think you'll say, you're probably right there, but I hate to admit it. And I would say Kamala Harris. And I'll say because she had a really good opportunity to become president of the United States, but she's blowing it down by the border, not going down there like she should be doing, not following up on stuff like that. And, you know, I don't believe that Biden would even be running again and just handing it over to her. But I think that he is so disappointed in her ability to run things and lack of knowledge that he's going to make himself run again. So what do you think? Am I correct or not?
I certainly think she has been diminished by the White House. At whose direction? I don't know. I don't know if Joe Biden is worried that her star might shine a little bit brighter. He's not exactly known as a dynamic stump speaker. My personal experience with Kamala is she is super dynamic as a human being. When you meet her, terribly intense human being. And I would say that is something from an energy, from an engagement point of view, that is something quite different than Joe Biden. I'll readily admit she's young, she's vibrant, she's engaging. And that is not exactly how I would describe Joe Biden. But I think if she is... failed to be a star, Gary, that is at the direction of her boss. I mean, come on, man. We all do what the boss says. I know you're self-employed, yeah, Gary, but your workers, they don't go out there freelancing. They do what the boss tells them to do. And if the boss says, here's your job, I know she's going on a campaign stump tour. She's going on a reproductive freedom tour. So the boss said, Kamala, I need you out there on the campaign trail. Now, we'll see how 2024 leaves her. If she can somehow go out there on the stump and be the dynamic that perhaps Joe sometimes lacks for, well, she might surprise you, Gary. She might be the big winner of 2024.
Yeah, but her poll ratings are down so low, even with Democrats, that she has a lot to go. You know, one thing that she does that just irritates the living daylights on me is she hackles and cackles like Hillary did when she talks, and that laughing, it just like fingernails on the chalkboard.
Gary, I don't have enough time during the course of this show to enumerate all the things that Trump does that annoys the you-know-what out of me. Appreciate you listening. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll take you up on the fish someday soon. Beth from Valparaiso, Indiana. Welcome, Beth. You got a biggest loser for 2023 to nominate?
Well, I guess we could say maybe people who spread false information about electric cars and the green movement. Because I have an answer to Bill. I'm sorry, Bill, but incorrect. You are wrong. I Googled national sales trends, electric vehicles, and I got, let's see, one headline from Fortune magazine. U.S. electric vehicle sales expected to hit new record in 2023. In North America, including U.S. and Canada, EV sales increased by 48% year-on-year in 2022, following 100% growth in 2021. Right now, the share of light vehicle sales forecast for this coming year is almost 20%, 45% in 2030, and 77% in 2035.
Beth, the smart people that listen to this fine show mostly appreciate the facts and the figures that you've just laid out. But Bill gets his from a differing source. The former president, his guy, Trump, was railing against the EV vehicles. And that's all he needs to hear. That is the only valid source of information Bill needs to hear it from. Folks, we are going to anoint a biggest loser of 2023 in the very next segment. Still time for your nominations. Call now 844-967-2789. We've got breaking news. Senator Herb Kohl from the great state of Wisconsin has passed today at the age of 88. And we've got sports reporter Mike Clemens talking about suspended Packer Jair Alexander. This show ain't done yet.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Experts say Wednesday will probably turn out to be the busiest day on the roads of the 10-day holiday period. Jacqueline Batts is headed to Denver. Carefully.
Watching out for all the people that aren't paying attention. They're all on their phones, they're talking to each other, and it's just like, they just want to go, go, go.
Gas prices may have hit bottom, and CBS's Jim Krasula says there's only one way to go from there.
Industry insiders had predicted that gas prices have bottomed out and are now on the rise. The national average for a gallon of gas is $3.13, up 6 cents from last week.
American and Mexican officials met for 2 hours in Mexico City, trying to come up with a plan to slow the flow of migrants to the U.S. southwestern border. CBS's Adrian Bard is in the Mexican capital.
Mexico's foreign minister, Alicia Bárcena, said her country is making a big effort to work with the U.S. Almost 11% of Mexico's military is used for enforcing migration laws.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former U.S. Senator and owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Herb Cole, has died. He was 88 years old. Cole's death was announced Wednesday evening by the Herb Cole Foundation. Cole bought the Bucks in 1985 and was instrumental in keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee. Cole also represented Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate from 1988 until 2012, when he decided not to run for re-election. Android phone users in Wisconsin can expect some of a $700 million nationwide antitrust lawsuit settlement with Google. Alexandra Sosnowski is New Hampshire's assistant attorney general.
With antitrust and disinjunctive relief, the hope is that the markets will open up and there could be future competitors that enter the race.
About 100 million eligible customers in all 50 states will split the settlement. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds on the increase in the overnight, upper 20s by sunrise. There may be a little bit of light snow developing late tonight towards sunrise, and snow showers and some sprinkles and flurries for Thursday. Highs in the upper 30s. It's 24 at our studios.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh,
devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Even the losers deserve a whopper of a Wednesday edition. Happier happy hour. This segment, we will anoint the biggest loser of 2023. Be careful, Gary. You're getting some votes on the text line. Oh, Gary is right here on the WAUK. We got a few more. We don't do math on the radio. No, we don't. What else we got? Joe is badass. Yes, she is, Jeff. Here's one more from Luke on the south side of Chicago. We should acknowledge the loss of female bodily autonomy this year. Well, we did do so to start the show. Dobbs actually came down in June of 2022, but I would suggest that this issue for the GOP is still the biggest loser of 2023. Also from the texter on the south side, we should also acknowledge the loss of equity efforts by the striking of affirmative action and attacks on DEI. So I nominate the conservatives of the SCOTUS as the biggest losers, especially as we find out that they are bought, owned, and pimped by the billionaire class. Well said, Luke. Appreciate you listening to the big show. You can also contribute or nominate a biggest loser on the phone line, 844-967-2789. More callers from Sussex. Mark, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, Crudy, first of all, thanks for taking my call. And this might be the second time that I ever agreed with you. While I didn't agree with his politics, I am a huge Herb Cole fan, because what he did as an owner of the Bucks and then what he did after he sold the Bucks to keep the Bucks here was huge. So I just wanted to put a compliment out to Herb Cole and RIP, rest in peace, my friend. So, but as far as the biggest loser, I think it's a really simple one. Anybody that's had the lowest political ratings, I think at one point in his career here, at what, 35% to 40% in Joe Biden, has to be the biggest loser of 2023.
Do you recall, Mark, what Barack Obama's ratings, his polling numbers, his approval numbers were, you know, let's say a year before the 2012 midterms or reelective campaign? They're relatively similar to Joe Biden's.
I was going to say, I don't recall. I know they were close, but I thought Joe had the all-time low. But I could be wrong on that.
And we know, of course, Mark, let me ask you the alternative. Donald Trump. Does that mean, if I understand in your perception, is that Joe Biden is not the right man for the job, do you perceive that Donald Trump is the right man for the job?
So I had a great discussion with Earl about a week and a half ago about this. I want to preface it that I am not a Trump fan. I will not vote for him in the primary, but if he is the ultimate Republican, I will vote for him just because of the disaster that we have in the White House currently.
And how do you reconcile that, Mark? I mean, just from your own personal morals or compass, how do you justify that you couldn't possibly want to vote for this guy, but you will if he's the nominee?
Well, I think I can kind of sum it up easily, because I picked up my mother and father-in-law on Christmas Day morning, and they're both union, huge Democrats that live in Milwaukee. And they both said on the way from Milwaukee to Sussex that he has got to be the worst president ever. And there was three reasons. Number one was they still think that bread costs too much and butter costs too much and food costs too much. The second thing was the crime in Milwaukee. And again, I know that's not Joe Biden, but, and then thirdly was our Mexican border and how out of control that is. Now, again, that's coming from two people that have voted Democrat their whole entire for 89, 90.
Mark, where have their news consumption, viewership and listener habits gravitated towards? Because, you know, quite frankly, if all I did was watch Fox News, Mark, I might agree with you on a number of these issues. I think that we self-select our sources sometimes. Now, I cannot.
They cannot
go ahead.
Fox. They cannot stand Fox. they will watch NBC, CBS, ABC. They might, I don't know if they'll go to CNN, MSNBC, but they will not watch Fox. They will not even watch Fox 6 because it's a supposedly Republican. So again, this is, again, my mother and father-in-law that have voted for 60, 70 years, union Democrats.
No, I'm hearing you. I believe you, Mark. I don't think you're making this up. I believe that they believe, but I would encourage you, and actually this played out on The View on Fox just the other day. I would encourage you to look at the latest economic numbers. And I know that people still view the economy through their own prism, right? When I go to the store, does the stuff I buy cost more than it used to? Do I have more money in my pocket at the end of the month than I used to? That's how most of us judge the economy, Mark, I'll readily admit. But if we look at the actual economic indicators, the fact that inflation is down, the fact that joblessness is down, the fact that the unemployment's at record lows, I mean, right now the economy is cruising along on a pretty good clip. This has been something of a really soft landing. Everybody was predicting a recession this year. And in fact, I see
the prediction of dropping
interest rates and dropping gas prices. Mark, that's going to make the economy seem a lot better next year.
Crudy, I agree. They even said that their annuities this year have gone up because of the Dow Jones.
Yep.
Okay. And it's related to that. So, and I agree with them. But when they go to the grocery store and they want to buy pound of ham,
yeah,
or they want to buy a pound of cheese, or a loaf of bread, or whatever, they're going, oh my Lord. I mean, and again, this is them just freaking out. But again, I don't disagree. I think the Dow Jones has been, it's up, 10, 12% this year. But believe me, I'm loving it with my 401k. So, but my point is, the perception is, and that's all it is, it's perception of what's going on in the current environment. And their perception is that this economy is awful. And again, every time Joe Biden says Bidenomics, I think it's a kind of a knife into their heart.
Hmm. Mark, you might make a very salient point there at the end, especially. Appreciate your reasonable call. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's to you. I want to get a few more nominees in here for Biggest Loser of 2023. Rico from Rock County. The Joyous Rico, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing good tonight, Crudy. I got that last caller. I just wanted to know if his parents are on Social Security. That's kind of where I was going to go with that.
I suspect they are. If Mark seems like a man of, maybe 50 or more, and his parents, if they are probably retired union people, I suspect they might be on Social Security, maybe Medicare as well.
Well, you got, that enough said, I guess. I don't really understand the loyalty there. I really don't understand that way of thinking. But anyway, going back to your contest.
Yes, sir.
We got so many of them. I mean, Trump, Rudy, Jim, you got Kevin. Rudy Giuliani wins this hands down. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, he's certainly ending the year with the worst consequence of all, is he not? I mean, bankrupt, $500 million in debt. He's not even popular on Cameo like George Santos is. I'm not sure, other than selling, FDA disapproved supplements on his podcast. I don't know how the man's making a living right now, Rico.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've just got this vision in my head. Here's Rudy, he's all tattered, wearing the long coat, and he's hobbling along these New York streets, and all of a sudden two of New York's finest police come up, throw him up against the wall, start frisking him and roughing him up a little bit. That's how I think it ends for Rudy. But hey, I did want to get an honorable mention in here with DeSantis. I think DeSantis might belong in this conversation, but I don't know.
Well, DeSantis,
he's probably going to come in.
He is certainly one of the biggest losers, and I would throw in the Vivek Ramaswamy guy. I mean, that guy's tarnished his own image. He's a relatively wealthy man, my understanding, some tech nearly billionaire, but he's gone out there and done nothing but cast himself as the jackass in this entire electoral process. And now he's out of cash. And now, you know, he finds himself 2 weeks before Iowa and he can't even get up on the TV screens. And, you know, his excuse is, well, television doesn't work. Well, you know, I believe it does. I think radio also works. I think paid media works, or they wouldn't be buying it. But anyways, man, DeSantis, mostly I'd like to throw him in there because I think it drags Scott Walker into the conversation because they're so similar. They're both such big losers.
You mean the fake Ramaswamy? Oh my God. He doesn't even come close. Hey, you guys are the big winners there at Civic Media and especially the Devil's Advocate radio show. Hey, you guys, I can't thank you enough for what you do here for Wisconsin. And you know what? Jeannie was right. Right wing mate radio. Biggest loser this year. You watch, folks. You watch.
Well, they're still beating us in the ratings, Rico. So, you know, I still got to give them some credit. But, you know, there's no accounting for taste, apparently. I appreciate the kind words, my friend. But I'm going to contradict you, Rico. Although I think Rudy Giuliani is certainly deserved of a biggest loser title in nearly any year of his life. I mean, let's not forget the guy was Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 2001. And he's going to end up destitute and probably in prison. But I'd like to see his criminal convictions play out before I anoint him the biggest loser. But there is a man, I think, that is deserving of this title. I think it's got to be former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. I mean, the man sold his soul for 9 months as Speaker. Now he's quit the job. He's not even in the Congress. He's going back home. He's going on his own little vengeance tour, perhaps. Found a little piece at Salon. I'd like to share just a few excerpts here. The GOP's biggest losers of 2023. Kevin, I never quit McCarthy. Written by Amanda Marcotte over at thesalon.com. F you. After years of groveling, the former speaker was dumb enough to believe Trump would return his loyalty. That's what makes you a loser. Whoever fears camp is dead should treat themselves and watch the farewell speech delivered by Rep. Kevin McCarthy on December 14th. It's no exaggeration to say I guffawed my way through it. The term stuffed shirt was invented for a character such as McCarthy, who resigned his office after being ousted as Speaker of the House earlier this year. It's unfathomably huge, the gulf between his self-conception as a noble statesman and the sniveling clown perceived by everyone else. It would be tragic if it weren't so hilarious. A conflict that is ground from which camp takes root. I loved every single day McCarthy started. It felt like hearing a man toast his wife at their 50th anniversary party, even though everyone knows he hasn't lived with her since the infamous buying a boat without telling her incident of 2003. You know, I had a similar incident with the 75-inch TV this year. Thank God Santa brought it. If there's advice I can give, continue to man famous for selling his soul for the speaker role that he lost less than 9 months later, do not be fearful. It is at this point, reader, that the coffee shot out of my nose and onto my iPad screen, inadvertently stopping the C-SPAN video mid-sentence. For if there was one quality that most people remember about the congressman from Bakersfield, it was his fearlessness. Donald Trump sent a murderous mob after McCarthy and the rest of Congress. Those who do not fear would take a stand after their near murder. Yet all McCarthy could do was slither on his belly to kiss Trump's feet. And yet, when he needed him, when McCarthy reached out to Trump during his fight to retain the speakership, he was abandoned by Trump, which I would say makes Kevin McCarthy, the former Speaker of the House, the biggest loser in 2023, and I'm the only judge that matters. Come back, Mike Clemens. We'll talk about Jair Alexander suspended against the Vikings and the death of former Bucks owner Herb Cole, dead today at 88 years old.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Even the losers deserve a whopper of a Wednesday edition, and it's just getting better right now. We got our sports reporter, our Packer reporter. He's Mike Clemens from Civic Media. Mike, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hi, Mike. How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty okay. Some breaking news of a both political and sports sort. While we've been on the air today, Mike, Herb Kohl, the former owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, of course, U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, passed at the age of 88. We broke the ethics of journalism. We sucked up to Herb Kohl and got to sit in Herb Kohl's box when I was just a broke-ass lad of about 23 years old out of college. That was my brush with Herb Kohl. You got any Herb Kohl stories? Any
experience with Herb? I'm sure you must have told the story. Yeah, several. And that's the most interesting thing is that he and Bud Selig were grade school buddies together growing up. I mean, two of the most important figures in sports in this state knew each other as kids. And then the Kohl grocery store and the Dynasty. Jane Jeffrey was an anchor woman in Milwaukee. I was a producer for Jane. And she said in high school she worked at a Kohl's grocery store. And she said you'd be there stocking like the produce area. And here'd come Mr. Kohl out of nowhere, the owner of this giant company, and say, Jane, how are you today? And is there anything you need to do to make your job easier? And then, she said, well, if I could get a bigger cart because this one's got a broken wheel, and that would be taken care of. He was that kind of an employer. He went down to details, and he wanted to make sure that the employees on the floor were getting what they needed at the same time that they had pride. As a senator, he always seemed to be prepared. The one negative about him, though, as the Bucks owner, and he kept the Bucks in Milwaukee, was this. I got to have this lunch with Larry Harris, who had been the general manager for about 5 years. You remember him? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago or so? So Larry said, look, we all love the senator. Look, I'm the son of Del Harris, but I got a job in high school working in the video department. And I worked my way up to where he let me be general manager. But he said, with Herb, it would get to be like the 36-hour rule. And I go, what do you mean? And he said, you'd come to him with a big deal. And he named a couple that were jaw-dropping. But I'll give you an example. It would be like the Bucks deal they pulled off this past summer. Like, okay, we're to trade away Drew Holiday and two or three of these other guys and some draft picks, but we're going to bring in Damian Lillard. And Herb would say, wow, okay, yeah, that sounds exciting, Larry. Okay, yeah, that's good. Let's make that, see if we can make that happen. He said, and you'd get it all lined up. You'd have the paperwork, and Herb would go down. There was two divisions. There was the basketball side, and then there was the business side. And he talked to Steinmiller and some of those other guys and say, oh, I don't know about that, Herb. I mean, that here's how much that could cost you. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? He says, and then you'd get the call from Herb the next day and say, Larry, I was thinking about this last night, and they're saying, I've got some questions. I'm not sure. And then it wouldn't happen. And that happened a lot. It was kind of frustrating. So eventually, Larry resigned and moved on and joined the Golden State Warriors, and they got a guy named Steph Curry, and he's got a couple of rings out there.
Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter. I think of you first and foremost as a Packer reporter. And the other big water cooler break in news of the day, Mike, Jair Alexander going to be suspended for the New Year's Eve game against the Vikings. This is sort of a playoff play-in game from my perception, Mike. And our best cornerback, our all-pro, has done a boneheaded thing, apparently, conduct detrimental to the team. And I'm shocked that they suspended the guy for this. But that is the news, and break it for the people. Mike, what can you tell us?
Okay, before the game this past Sunday in Carolina against the Panthers, there were three appointed captains. And it's, instead of having, like, captains for the whole year, this year LaFleur with this young team decided every week he would decide on who are the new three captains for the week. So they had three captains out there. Jair is from Charlotte. He had a bunch of family and friends in the stands. And just before they got going with the coin toss, he ran out there and joined them, yelled at the refs something along the lines of, we want to be on defense. And now LaFleur let us, we found this out now. LaFleur, before they do that coin toss, he will go to the ref crews and say, if the Packers win the toss today, we want to receive or we want to defer. He told them, we want to defer. So the referees know that in case of, you know, a young player gets nervous and says the wrong thing or something like that.
And apparently that's so, already happened once this year. They've already had one boneheaded move at the coin toss. So LaFleur was very preemptive and probably really kept us from, what, having to kick in both halves this week.
Right. That could have been the result. If you don't, you either say we receive or we defer. You don't say anything else because it gets confusing. So that's what happened. The refs, you know, clarified. And that saved the Packers from that, you know, huge mistake. Now, there have been things along the way this year where Jair has kind of been acting like a clown, putting on the sunglasses and the shoulder pads and or the championship belt, even though he'd missed the last 4 weeks with a shoulder injury. There was one thing where I asked LaFleur, are you kind of disappointed the way he's acting? He says, we're all disappointed. And the very next day, Jair did not get on the plane for the Giants game. They kept him home. And it wasn't necessarily for rehab. So he played in that game, but that seemed to be the last straw, according to what LaFleur said today. So LaFleur said, we had a good meeting with Jair today. I expect him to be back here next week. And I, you know, want him to play with the Green Bay Packers. He's a great player. But this had to end. And so, therefore, they gave him a one-game suspension, you know, because of this erratic behavior and stuff that he's done. And a lot of this, he says, was not just the coin toss. This is something that's been building up.
So, Michael, our defense, the Packers defense, has not exactly been playing great. It was by the skin of our teeth to beat the 2-12 Carolina Panthers. We can't really afford to suspend our starting quarterback, can we, this week against the Vikings?
Well, you know, Carrington Valentine did quite well with both Stokes trying to get back in the field. Eric Stokes with a horrible foot and leg injury from a Lions game 13 months ago. And then Jair, who first got drilled by his own tight end, friendly fire at practice with a back injury, then missed another six games, as it turned out, with a shoulder injury. So Carrington Valentine, but you know what the sad thing is? You're not going to get to see Jair cover Justin Jefferson. You know, we'll miss out on that opportunity.
Michael Clements, we never miss out when you join the Devil's Advocate, sports reporter for Civic Media. Happy New Year, man. Hope you enjoy the game. You're going to be up there at the, what they call the new stadium in Minneapolis. I forget.
U.S. Bank. We'll be up there ringing in with that stupid Viking and the skull horn and all that other stuff up there.
Well, go Packers. Take the over. That would be my prediction. Mike Clements, have a happy New Year. We'll catch up in 2024. Biggest loser of the year, Kevin McCarthy. Stick around the Maggie Dawn Show and then the Empowered Caregiver with Liza Helen Brand. She's live at 7.
I'm not so typical. I'm a cheesehead baby, the pride of Wisconsin.
Jim Bob, where the hell's my bowling ball?
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on.